All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we are here dealing with the block of verses of Genesis 39, 2 through 6a. Whereas Joseph has been sold into slavery and has ended up under the ownership of one Potiphar, who is the head of the Pharaoh's security, the palace. And we are here told how God is with Joseph, even in this ordeal, and that God still blessed Joseph in spite of his situation at hand that others would look at and think would be completely deplorable and awful otherwise in this regard. And we have pointed out here in the process that God prospering Joseph here in these verses was not an overnight situation. But the success of Joseph was ongoing and occurred over a period of years, some 10 years, of which he served in Potiphar's household in this respect. And the blessing or the success that he experienced in this regard, Moses makes very clear, the author, that it is God who is behind it, and why Joseph was so successful otherwise in his life. And that is because Joseph, obviously, was positive to Bible doctrine. He is oriented regard to God's plan. The very phrase that the Lord existed with him or was with him is the same phrase used in regards to his preceding patriarchs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, his father, which indicates his phase two positive volition in that respect. We are at point 13 of our notes here in that general vicinity, page 7. We're looking at the identification of Potiphar as Moses simply claims him to be the Egyptian two times in our verses after being told that it is Potiphar, the Egyptian. Otherwise, that Joseph was sold to. And this has bearing, as we was pointing out, point 13, the author's reference here to Potiphar as to nationality, the Egyptian, rather than given name, as we will see also in verse 5, is a hint to the reader that a specific course in Hebrew history has now been established. 14, that is to fulfill the prophecy to Abraham that his descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, where they will be enslaved and oppressed 400 years. That was part of the prophecy given to Abraham under the covenant terms, recognizing that for some 430 years, 215, however you may date it from, in regards to the perception of the one given the date in that regards, that they would be enslaved as a people. And as we know, as history may know, it is Egypt that becomes that country under which they find this condition of them as a people. And here we have Moses subtly ringing our bell, if you will, telling us the Egyptian, hey, Egypt now is in view, and this whole ordeal with Joseph is going to bring him and his family into the land of Egypt. He's there. His family will come into the land, and that's where they're going to end up residing for the next couple hundred years before they're released under the Exodus generation in that respect. So, point 15, we, as with Moses, have the advantage of past history to recognize this with Moses using literary liberty here, to point to the doctrinal extent the Lord is with Joseph. He is the tool, the instrument, that God is going to use to bring all this about on behalf of the Jews, on behalf of the rest of his family. So 16, in other words, his success will not only provide deliverance for his family from the famine, but will bring about the fulfillment of the prophecy to Abraham. Joseph's role in his life was quite inclusive doctrinally when you look at it, the whole situation. Not only will he be the marquee of fulfillment of his dreams, but he is the lead-in in regards to the prophecy given to his great-great-grandfather in regards to the Jewish race in and of itself. Your application in life, you never know how God may utilize that in order to advance his plan otherwise, whether it's seen in prophetic sense or not. So, point 16 again, in other words, his, Joseph's, success will not only provide deliverance for his family from the famine, which it does, but will bring about the fulfillment of prophecy to Abraham. Hence, he's with the Egyptian. 17, this to support the fact that Joseph's success is not to be construed as a result of energy of the flesh on his part, but through his own orientation to Bible doctrine. How his life is weaved with doctrine, and now how God is utilizing him in this vein cannot go unnoticed. To recognize the difference between energy of the flesh, that is, running under your SCA with your own human motivations and goals in life, compared to letting God lead you and guide you and direct you in life, are two different worlds in regards to their reality in the eyes of God and what it means for the individual at hand. And this whole deal with Joseph is designed to highlight the fact that God being with him was because he was oriented to Bible doctrine. All that occurs, and we're not saying that he is perfect by any stretch of the imagination, that all that occurs in his life is because of his phase 2 positive volition. And it wasn't simply a pursuit of the energy of the flesh, pursuit of the SCA. He quite by example, in fact, keeps it overruled sufficiently. And all it does is bring misery in his life. Not all, but it does. That is the consequence regards often in regards to holding to the truth of Bible doctrine, and that is that you will find conflict in regards to living in Satan's world by others around you who do not have the same doctrinal norms and standards that you carry. So, again, the point that is being made here is that it's not some simply mystical thing of Joseph becoming successful at the hand of God, but is due to his integrity and his uprightness and fidelity in regards to application of doctrine in his own life of being positive. He chooses to submit to God's word for his position and situation in life and apply Bible doctrine in spite of how it may be otherwise. And God chooses to bless him in this way. So, 18, this would have included the principle of doing your job as unto the Lord. Colossians 3, 22 through 25. Slavery is an institution that's been around for centuries. Not any one race is necessarily unique in regards to slavery. Many races have been enslaved by people. And it was ongoing, obviously, even during the New Testament period of time. And Paul utilizes the situation to exhort those believers who were slaves and positive Bible doctrine in that condition to perform their duties correctly, righteously, according to doctrine before God. Obviously, he also makes it clear that if opportunity is given to them to be free, that you take that opportunity. But otherwise, you don't rebel and act like an idiot otherwise in regards to your current condition and situation at hand. Today, we, by application, can take these verses of exhortation and apply it to ourselves as believers in regards to working under the authority of others on the job, to be paid servants, if you will, in that respect. Now, verse 22, Colossians, Paul exhorts, slaves in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth. Understand, God establishes all authority, good and bad. He establishes it. Obviously, is to bring about in orchestration all aspects in regards to fulfillment of this plan. People will be in the right positions, the right places, the right time in history, all these things. See. Yes, we believe in free will, but we also believe in divine destiny. There is a destiny for our country. There's a destiny for planet Earth. As we know, in regards to what Scripture tells us and reveals to us with respect to these things. So, God is behind all authority. And there's authority structure. If you don't have authority, then what you have is a society of nothing but chaos. And even then, is fairly chaotic at times. And he says, the obedience. See, that's a word that your STA doesn't like to hear often. Obey. Oh, yay, obey. The comedian used to say, yo boy. Obey, see. Not with external service, continuing verse 22. Not to be a brown noser. Not just to appear like you're doing good and you're being right. But it is to come from your own commitment and motivation, self-motivation, in regards to doing a job well done. Otherwise, as those who merely please men pleasers, approbation. People seek the approbation of others, the glory of others. If you're going to seek anybody's glory, I advise you to seek God's glory. That counts, see. But approbation otherwise, Jesus had to deal with the religious leaders of his time in this regard. You seek the glory of men, to be noticed by others, the self-centeredness, the narcissism that is rampant upon our in regards to our society, see. But that's not the way we're supposed to do our work. Not to be pleased with men, the boss is around, you know, you got your act together. Of course, when he's gone, no telling what's going on behind the scenes. But with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord, that's sanctified fear, recognizing God is has tabs on everything that we do. And all that we do will be rewarded or not, and dealt with by God ultimately. See? Whatever you do, verse 23, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. Maybe your profession isn't your most desired profession. You think Joseph's profession as a slave was his desired profession? Oh, I wanted to go and be a doctor. No, But God has you there for a purpose, wherever you're at, for a reason. If you are committed to Bible doctrine and you're seeking to apply Bible doctrine in your life, there's a purpose by God on your behalf in regards to why you are where you're at. And part of growing up spiritually is recognizing that. And seeing that it's an opportunity for the witness of life in regards to what it means to be positive to Bible doctrine and adjusted to Bible doctrine. You're not the goof-off. Not the pilferer and things of this nature, those things that go on in regards to businesses. But you have integrity. You have good morals. You have good worth ethics. You're a self-starter, you know, as they would say. Self-motivated. And the fact you're doing it because this, you know, this is what God expects of you by doctrine. Knowing, verse 24, that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Whatever condition, whatever job niche you may have, does nothing to diminish the SG3 that you can collect in regards to your situation and niche in and of itself. Whether you're a slave or whether you're the president of the United States. Application of Bible doctrine will equalize itself in regard to terms of eternal reward for those who will plug in and do it right. Whether you have to dig ditches or whether you have some other more affluent or desired profession otherwise. But to do it right, as part of growing up spiritually, is figuring out God's plan for your life in these things often. And to orient to that, that you receive the reward of the inheritance is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Okay, you're supposed to be a light in the world, and it's on the job. Joseph didn't maintain his integrity, I don't think, because of what he was getting paid. He wasn't bringing down $100,000 a year being a slave, I'm here to tell you. For he does wrong, or we see the consequences of wrong, verse 25, which he has done, and that without partiality. You want to buck your head against authority, be rebellious, antinomian, otherwise in that respect. Understand that you place yourself in the position of experiencing God's wrath or judgment in regards to your life. And that also will come through maybe reactions and consequences of employers, etc., that you engage in transgression against in that name. Get fired. Don't show up, you know, on time. And you wonder why you get fired. Like the 70s show, that one idiot that never showed up on time, always had an excuse, and Red fired him. And he had to go to before the board because he filed a complaint. And he didn't show up in time for the board meeting. So, you know, all the human viewpoint, obviously, in the show. But you get the idea. We understand these things. Part of the degradation of unions and things of this nature, as they have been devised in time, is that it tends to provide an environment that people do not do their best in their job. The whole idea of unions truly, really is evil. We may have our complaints in regards to businesses, etc., especially today in regards to the internet and things of that nature, but still it belongs to the people that own them. It's their business. And so what does all this do? More government regulation. Get the government out of there and half the problems would disappear. But anyway. I got my 15 seconds in there. So Joseph, obviously, in the process of becoming successful and being successful in his life, had the proper work ethics and morality to join his applications in this respect. So 19, God in turn blessed his doctrinal work ethics and via his sovereign will ensured he would be in a position to ultimately provide assistance, benefit, and protection for all the sons of Israel. God can utilize him in this capacity because the ethical and moral doctrinal integrity that Joseph possessed and applied in regards to his life. God has will. He is the creator. It's his plan. His will is known hence as his sovereignty. Joseph aligned under his sovereign will, under God's, what is referred to as his directive will, what God wants us to think, say, and do in his sovereignty. Those who do not want to align with his directive will fall under God's permissive will. This recognizes that God created us with free will, with volition. We can choose for or against God. We don't have to apply doctrine. You don't have to apply doctrine if you don't choose to do so. That's your choice. You don't have to have a relationship with God if you don't want one. He's a perfect gentleman. He does not coerce anybody or force anyone to love him and have a relationship with him. You're free to do as you so desire. Even though there are people out there that think that in spite of this, that somehow they're greater than God and they can sell people into loving Jesus otherwise. Fund the evangelistic approach. And if you choose not to, you fall under God's permissive will. He permits evil to exist along with good. God has geographical will. That's where he wants you to be. For Joseph, he wants him to go to Egypt. Why? So he can fulfill prophecy. That's why. And fulfill God's plan for his life. He lived in northeast Ohio, in the Cleveland area. Where he wants you to be is in a local church that's teaching sound Bible doctrine. On a regular, consistent basis, sufficiently, so you can make the maturity adjustment and be a prize winner if you so choose to do so. And in spite of all that, one should never forget that also another aspect of God's will is he has overruling will. We've already seen that, obviously, often here in the book of Genesis. He overrules evil. Nothing will interfere in regards to God's plan for mankind, history, and for the believer priest in view. So 20, Joseph had been kidnapped, removed from his father's house, and sold into slavery to bring him to his present situation. His brothers kidnapped him. That's essentially what they did. Ripped away from his home, physically, geographically, and sold into slavery. 21, human viewpoint would render this situation as not good. Not good. His life has gone down the tubes. Yeah. That person, if they would move halfway across the country, could get a great promotion and a great raise. But they're going to take a more menial job because they don't want to relocate because of Bible doctrine. Because they don't want to abandon their local church and sound teaching. I guarantee you, you can look all you want, but you will not find local churches like ours on every street corner in the United States. Truly, in this point in time in our history, we are few and far between. There used to be a lot more of us. You don't want sound Bible doctrine, but basically you can go out in the church world and you can find whatever you want otherwise. And we're not saying we have a corner on the truth. We don't. We're just saying we know the very minimum that should be expected from any local church in regards to their approach to the Scriptures and what the responsibilities of the church is, as well as the believers that attend that local church. at minimum. Twenty-two, from God's perspective, the human viewpoint, renders Joseph is in a bad situation. There's nothing really good that he can do. His hands are tied. So 22, from God's perspective, he was in a perfect position. So you don't know exactly what God may have in store for any one of us. But understand that God has purpose of why we are where we're at. And for Joseph, he was in a perfect position because he needs to be at the top of the political game when the famine comes around some 17 years down the road or 20 years down the road. That is to be able to set up his family in a good way. So 23, this should remind the reader of Romans 8, 28. I've written out here. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Two caveats that are attached to God causing, which we have seen the Hiphil Hebrew forms of verbs here in our verses, causing Joseph to be blessed. Causing all things to work together, and first and foremost, you need to love God. That's divine love. It's not this emotional lip service, oh, I love Jesus. Well, Jesus says, if you love me, you hear my words and do them. Those are the ones that truly love Jesus. We're not questioning their intentions. We're not questioning their emotions. But in God's eyes, the love that's acceptable to Him, that He honors, are those who are oriented to the truth of Bible doctrine. First and foremost, you got to hear it, you got to know it, you got to understand it, and then you got to guard it with your life. It becomes your life. That's how you guard it. See. And those who are called according to His purpose looks at, obviously, that you have to be a believer for any of this to be possible in this regards. Under the doctrine of election and calling. There's phase one calling, there's phase two calling. Phase one calling is believing Jesus Christ for salvation from eternal condemnation. Phase two calling is every time we have Bible class. That's a phase two calling. See, calling those who want to give it an ear, front and center, and here is God's game plan for you. To His sovereign purpose to fulfill God's plan for his life or her life. 24, in spite of Joseph's overt circumstances, he continues to apply doctrine. As we will see throughout this, again, he becomes a great example of the motivation of positive volition, of overruling the sin nature. He obviously is going to put a lot of believers otherwise to shame at the main in regards to his level of applications. But so are most positive believers otherwise in their respective ways. And Joseph didn't let the overt circumstances influence him in a negative way in regards to the importance of Bible doctrine in his life. The doctrine and the importance of Bible doctrine. That's one doctrine. If you've not ever been through it, you need to go through it. That's an essential doctrine to understand where we're coming from. 25, this meant he had to overcome the hurdle of undeserved suffering. As we just reviewed that doctrine of suffering. Recognize the difference between deserved suffering and undeserved. What Joseph, his condition, his situation, wasn't something that he did wrong. Is what he did right that put him in this condition, put him in this situation. So you can't have the rose-colored glasses approach to life thinking, well, because it's not going good according to what the human perspective is, it means to be good, that somehow God's not for me or with me. You've got to overcome that. You've got to recognize the difference between deserved and undeserved suffering. And you've got to overcome that hurdle. You can't run around with that poor me syndrome, the self-pity syndrome. Yeah, we all probably feel sorry for ourselves on occasion. But you've got to overcome that. You've got to stay on top of that game. Your SCA loves to try to self-abase yourself. Self-abasement. Self-humiliate yourself. If it doesn't get its way one way in one area of your life, it will try to get its way in another area of your life. So he had to overcome the hurdle of being mistreated, maltreated by his own family. People that knew better. His brothers were raised under a doctrinal authority of their father Jacob. They knew better. See, you never know what people will do that go negative in regards to doctrine, and how it may come back and affect you in a negative way. So 26, this man, he did his job. He did not succumb to self-pity, feeling sorry for self, the old, quote, poor me, end quote, syndrome. 27, as I mentioned earlier, we can assume he did not refuse to work because his pay was not good enough. He's a slave. I can't work for less than $15 an hour. Jeez. You'd do real good in this world, wouldn't you? So where's he getting his motivation from? Where's he getting his determination from? If it's not from self-glory, approbation, he's getting it from within in regards to desire to apply Bible doctrine, to serve God, to do what is right before God. That is a level of thinking, focus, concentration that people with Bible doctrine have that the rest of the world is completely absent to in regards to being omitted in their lives. They do not experience that. Theirs is all about the flesh. See. 28, he did not resort to a human viewpoint otherwise to advance himself. Like we said, human viewpoint, first and foremost, was to say he's in a deplorable situation. This is really bad for Joseph. No, it's not. It's exactly what God wants for him. So it's exactly what God wants for you in regards to your pursuit of Bible doctrine. Now, the issue is, are you going to acclimate to that or not? Or are you going to continue to take issue with it and fight God over the matter? See? Human viewpoint. We're here in Bible class to reprogram our thinking with the mind of Christ, as the Scripture is so called. To think the way God thinks. The rest of the world thinks the way Satan wants them to think. Human viewpoint, in contrast, there's two pools of viewpoint you can draw from in regards to philosophies and existence of life in and of itself. Human viewpoint and divine viewpoint. Divine viewpoint being the way God thinks. And hence, what he wants us to think, say, and do, etc. Human viewpoint is anything that is contrary to that or distorts it in any form or fashion. And I don't care how benign some human viewpoint may seem to you, understand that it is in contradiction to the truth of Bible doctrine. It comes from Satan himself in regards to its influence. Because Satan is the father of all lies. Human viewpoint is a lie in terms of what God and how God thinks and what God says in regards to matters. See? So, but first and foremost, you got to know what God's plan is to be able to think right. It all starts from your mental attitude, your knowledge. We all obviously fall prey to human viewpoint in aspects of our life. But with doctrine, at least it becomes clear to you that that's what it is, ultimately, when you hang in there with it. And you don't just jettison all your human view. Many of us come in to doctrine with lots of human viewpoint baggage attached to us. Well, that's part of the challenge. Are you willing to dump that baggage for the truth? See, for the doctrine, when you see it documented in regards to the Scripture, and not some just superficial reading in regards to get the tape and we'll go over the Bible in 3 months here. But to lay it out so there is no excuse, no room in regards to accusation that we're not presenting the Bible in a completely and totally openly transparent way. See. Human viewpoint says you've got to compromise your NPR. You've got to compromise doctrine. Compromise your right shepherd, your right body of Christ, in order to advance yourself in the world. Or some other compromise in regards to doctrine. That God can't bless you in this situation. If you don't hang around long enough, how do you know? Oh, I got tested. So, been there, done that. 29, he did not slack in his efforts to do the best job he could, obviously doing his work under the Lord. I guarantee you, the head of the elite military squad of Pharaoh did not take some Yahoo and advance him the way that Joseph's been advanced without exemplary work ethics that is performed by Joseph. The world back then, authorities back then, is not like the world today. The spot mentality of parents with kids and all this other socialism and other types of stuff that's inserted in regards to, don't spank your kids, always reward, don't speak bad, don't tell them whether they're he or she because they can't figure it out anyway, whatever. Now, authority, basically, if you didn't line up with it, you're out. You didn't do a good job, you're out. You're a slacker, you're out. Rather of necessity, it meant that he maintained close watch on his mental attitude. Again, that's where it starts. If you see your thinking getting off base, that's when you need to correct it. At least recognize it. All right, that's just my SCA talking. That's human viewpoint. This does not square up in regards to doctrine. And recognize it. Rebound is necessary, and reorient. And if you don't know, put it aside, pray about it. Come to Bible class, you never know where you might hear the very thing you need to hear to orient you in regards to some test, circumstance, situation in life. The kind of information, the kind of exhortation glue attached to it, that it sticks with you and that it is truly beneficial, not some just emotional high that you get from the yah-yah, rah-rah, thundy crowds. So he had to stay a close watch on your mental attitude. You've got to pay attention to your thinking. Thirty-one, his thinking was oriented to the plan of God. 32, you're determined to apply Bible doctrine in his niche. The rest of people want to bitch and moan and groan in regards to their bosses and their jobs and everything else. Don't be part of that crowd. Stay away from people like that. Do your work unto the Lord. Stay in fellowship. Remember to take everything to God in prayer. That's part of it. It doesn't mean that you have to sit there and break your concentration in and of itself in regards to what you're doing. Have you ever tried praying about it? You know, you got a report, you got a job you got to do. Ask God, please bless my efforts. Just how long does that take? You know, might check and make sure you're in fellowship. How long does that take? To apply doctrine, to be oriented to doctrine, recognizing that your authorities are just that, your authorities. You don't sit there and be argumentative with them. Now, obviously, there's a proper place to defend yourself in regards to things. But ultimately, they're the boss. That's what goes. And your challenge is to orient to these things and apply doctrine in spite of it. 33, he no doubt kept reminding himself of God's promises in his dream. All right, God, here I am. My brothers have done jacked me over big time. They've sold me off into slavery. Now in the house of this guy here, I'm a slave. What's this whole thing about being promoted where my family is going to bow down to me? Well, obviously, that was in his mind. This is where it all started. First time, basically, you have recorded Joseph gets up and he proclaims doctrine in his household. And you would think, well, this is the patriarchs of the Jewish race. They're all in line here. Right. Even his father took issue with him. His father is otherwise adjusted phase two in his life. So, you know. 34, the fact that Yahweh caused him to be promoted. He made him promoted, if you will. Signals that he was acclimated to his niche and orientation to the doctrine at hand. Yeah, it is about who you know. But not as the world thinks of how you know or your contacts or whatever. To be accelerated and exalted in regards to your positions and things. It's God. If you know God, that's what counts. See? That's who you want to know. You never know whom God may put you in front of, in contact with, that is positive to Bible doctrine. You never know. Or someone that he wants to make culpable to doctrine at the very least. See, understanding the facets of God's plan, the more culpable one is, the harsher the judgment and the penalty that comes upon them. You never know, maybe that's why he's got you in a job that just sucks. And people are rude and they don't do. Maybe God just wants to make them a little bit more culpable. Not saying that anybody's in that kind of position. As a pastor, I can't say that. I mean, I guess I could, but I probably wouldn't have anybody show up in this class. But anyway. Yeah. Or, you never know, along the line, who may come in and have an interest in regards to the truth. And there you are. As we get into this, the situation deeper, the whole deal with Joseph, he becomes a witness to Potiphar. He becomes a divine witness, and Potiphar sees it. He sees the witness that he truly represents in regards to his life. What does that do for Potiphar? Does it make him a great Christian in himself or even become a believer? Well, I can't tell you that because we're not told. See? But nevertheless, it puts him on notice. So 35, this scenario recognizes the difference between God blessing believers versus the cosmos blessing their own. You've got to understand the difference, that the world takes care of its own when it chooses to. Not always. You got to understand, the world take care of its own is a world that is dog-eat-dog world. John 15:19, Jesus himself teaches this very principle. As we read this verse in the Doctrine of Suffering, if you were of the world, the world would love its own. And it's a second-class condition in the Greek. You're not. You're a believer. You that subscribe to a new citizenship. Yeah, you have a passport that makes you a citizen of the kingdom of God because you're a believer. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Yeah, you can get some testings, some sufferings off your back just by compromising doctrine and capitulating in regards to what the world wants for you. See, and do it their way. Whatever, however they may want to operate their business, etc. But when it's obviously unethical, amoral, and it compromises the doctrine of your life, you're not willing to do that. See, well, don't expect your job probably to promote you otherwise, even though that doesn't hinder God either if he wants to promote you. Negative volition takes care of negative volition. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light and see things in Jesus' name. Amen.